tonight that were originally to Schedule 722. My understanding from the person who can come up and tell you is that it is a full cost amendment. So they pay full cost for the retirement credit they are purchasing, and it applies to all persons who have held elective office on or after January 1st, 1980, which is my understanding applies to legislative assembly members and county commissioners and city council folks and that kind of thing that would be eligible for PERS credit.
Any questions for staff? Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mr. Delaney from PERS?
Well, I have a question. General, we saw this last night and it had Westland's name on the top of it. And I guess I would like to kind of hear the background of this amendment to find out what actually brought it forward. Because we don't want to talk about self-serving. This was more self-serving than anything. If the legislators chose to be not in the PERS system when they were first elected, are we going to give them an exemption to get under?
Well, I don't know what that much of Representative Westland's idea was, but what the chair mentioned was that we had legislators that when they first got elected, and we're given a packet, and you first select, you get your legislative packet, and then, for whatever reason, often not to opt in for PERS. So, I don't know. Do you have any idea how many legislators or people there are in the world that this would affect?
Mr. Delaney might be able to answer that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Delaney? No. I have no idea.
No idea. For the record, my name is Steve Delaney, Manager of Government Relations at PERS. I do not have any reports to tell me how many would be eligible to take this option.
Any other questions, comments? Representative Edwards moves to the SA4 amendment. Senate Bill 325. Motion on the floor. Any questions, comments?
Just a quick question since I was out, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Last night we talked about making sure that the person's paying the entire cost of getting back in. Okay, we're still there.
Look at the 90-day window. Line 24, the 23 and 24, page 1, the first couple lines of page 2.
Thank you.
Any objection to the motion? No objection. Motion carries. Representative Edwards, Division Senate Bill 325 to the floor
as amended.
Let the do pass as amended. Any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, bill moves to the floor with the do pass recommendation as amended.
Carry.
Any volunteers to carry the bill? Representative Edwards will carry. Close the work session on Senate Bill 325. Committee will stand at ease.
call the House Rules, Elections, and Public Affairs Committee to order. And let's go to a work session on SBR 11. Yes.
We need to do some more work on 325.
Not finished yet.
It's mandatory.
Excuse me, I'm just spreading out here.
Oh, okay. Work session on SGR 11, and that's in Devon, indicated that well, the motion would be then to remove the Senate amendments to the bill.
Chairman?
Yes,
that's correct.
Amendment?
That is not the motion. Resolution 59 is the version that passed the House. And they are identical, except that it appears to me that they are identical, except that the SJR 11 includes language that broadens it to include all foreign law enforcement officers, where the HJR 59 limits that to Oregon State Police.
Mr. Chairman, move to extend the rules for purposes of conceptual amendment.
Yes. There's five of us here. The objection to extending the rules for purposes of a conceptual amendment to SBR 11. Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, on line 21, from Ian Brooks, remove foreign law enforcement officers and replace with Oregon State Police.
Okay.
Yes.
Further, I have another amendment I'd like to add. Another part of that section that I'd like to add.
Okay. I'd like to be somewhat precise about the language here. We'll change the language in the first sentence to read, may also be used by the Oregon State Police for the policing of public highways, roads, streets, and roadside rest areas. That will be the precise language. We'll take the first sentence from HJR 59 that passed the House and replace the first sentence in SJR 11. Okay, that's the conceptual amendment. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay, let's finish. Star, what else do you have?
Actually, mine wouldn't require suspension of the rules. Mine would just be an amendment to the bill.
Okay, well, why don't we just...
I'll deal with this first.
Well, why don't we, staff did point out that Oregon State Police is referenced twice. The second sentence in HJR 11, starting on line 22, revenues authorized in this paragraph may be used only to increase the budget for police agencies in order to provide levels of service not authorized. We have a judgment call here. Should we narrow that language there to the state police also, or is it in the first sentence to the state police?
That's enough.
Okay. We'll just leave it there, then we will. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
President Starr.
I move that we strike the sentence beginning on line 22 that starts with the word revenues and continues to lines 23 and 24.
Okay, cause a motion to strike language does not require suspension of the rule.
To the motion, Mr. Chair.
The motion.
Mr. Chair, I just think that this is tying the legislature's hands more than necessary, and I'm not saying that this money would be used for backfill or would not be used for backfill, but I think that the more flexibility provided to the legislature, the better. These kind of budgeting questions take place in a public arena, not behind closed doors, and in such a way that
all voices are given an opportunity to be heard, and I would support this with that deletion.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gardner?
I guess I'd object to that. My personal belief is that if you're really going to pass this resolution, then it's got a better chance if you, in fact, you know, arguing for enhancements, not for backfill, and that if you take out that language, it gives you the opportunity to use it for backfill.
Further discussion? Have the clerk call the roll.
Ms. Abayer?
Excuse.
Yetlin?
No.
Edwards?
Nope.
Gardner?
No.
Daniel?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Chair Simmons?
It doesn't matter. It'll fail either way now. Okay. So I'll vote aye. And then the motion fails. And so we have the bill before us, colleagues.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move SJ and our letter to the floor as conceptually and amended otherwise.
Okay. We have a motion, colleagues, to move the bill to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation and discussion. Representative Manning.
Having sponsored a similar resolution back in 1989 or 1991, having seen the highway construction industry spend $500,000 to defeat it on the ballot with advertising campaigns saying, they're raiding your trust fund, they're taking your tax dollars for other purposes, has anyone checked to see if the highway construction industry is going to spend probably this time $750,000 to kill this baby? The right thing. I support it, and I'll be glad to send it out. But my message to the highway construction industry: next session we'll get you if you don't support it or if you don't stay quiet.
We'll see how the vote comes out.
It didn't work that way last time, so just a word of caution, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Richard Byer.
Excuse.
Edwin.
Aye.
Edwards?
Nope.
Gardner?
Yes.
Manning?
Aye.
Carr?
Aye.
Edson?
No. Motion carries. Bill goes to the floor of the House to do pass recommendation. Any volunteers for carrier?
I'll carry it.
We will leave it open. We'll sign a carrier. We'll ask for the GNL. Should I carry the bill? And we'll close the session on SJR 11. And we will go to the next item of business on our agenda, work session on Senate Bill 686.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mann.
I move adoption of the A41 Amendment.
We have a motion, colleagues, to adopt the A41 Amendment to Senate Bill 686. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll clerk to call the roll.
Ken Hire.
Excuse.
Chairman?
No.
Edwards?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye.
Manning?
Aye.
Starr?
No.
Simmons?
Aye. Did President Byer care to vote on the Dash 41?
No.
Did not care to vote, or you vote no?
I voted no.
Okay. Okay. Motion carries. Dash 41 amendments are moved to Senate Bill 686. Senator Manning.
I move that we refer Senate Bill 686 to the floor for the due pass recommendation as amended.
The motion colleagues to move Senate Bill 686 before the House to be, as amended before the House to due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll send it to you.
We're not back to order yet. I think I'll send you back to order.
District Sir? Yes. Do we have a fiscal statement on how this affects this bill and affects our budget? I think that we have a rule in this committee that's dealing with requiring fiscals before we send bills to the floor.
Number 14.
Bill number 14. I live in Garden, those are well.
No, we do not, Mr. Chairman. I know.
Do we have any?
We cannot drop it
without
it.
Right. It's legal to not. And then, this is on earlier versions of the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Devlin.
The original bill was a bill without the
earlier version.
Okay, the amendment.
It's not necessary, it's not required that we have in our possession the fiscal statement to make we're getting it out. It is required, however, that a fiscal statement be in possession before it goes to the drop at the clerk's desk for printing.
It's my understanding that we can't vote it out of committee without a fiscal.
Unless you have a suspension rule.
We've done this on several other bills where we've held bills until we've had a fiscal. I think it's just appropriate on an issue like this, we know what we're doing. As far as grant funds that we're looking at.
I understand your objections, Mr. Starr, and I am sympathetic, but we are ready to move ahead.
Do we have fiscals on the A11 amendment?
I understand that the bill is, from fiscal staff, the bill is non-fiscal in its current form, and money has already been budgeted in ways and means for any cost that would be incurred as a result of passing this bill.
We have a fiscal statement that's been issued.
The last fiscal statement that I have is for the dash 11.
So let's do those.
I don't think you want to.
I'd be happy to move them. I've been compromising for 6 weeks. We're now 30 drafts further down the pike. Senator Courtney is berating me in the hallway for not being more decisive about taking votes.
Well, this is an issue that a lot of people have a lot of invested in very heavily. And any decision we take will not be satisfactory to 100%. We hope we have a decision before us that is satisfactory enough to get a 31 vote. That's all about in this business. And Rule 14, the committee shall not report a measure to the floor of the House unless the written LC amendments accompanying the report have been approved by a majority of the members of the committee at the meeting called for that purpose. And that's what we have before us, LC amendments that are ready to be voted on and have in fact been voted on. And
we didn't finish reading the rule, Mr. Chair.
In addition, the committee shall review any fiscal revenue impact statement issued in compliance with House Rule 820. What we'll do is we'll stand at ease for a few minutes to come down and see. We on now? Call the committee back to order and recess the public hearing on Senate Bill 686 pending Ramona's arrival.
Work session?
The work session, right, on Senate Bill 686. And we'll go down to Senate Bill 325 and finish the work we were working on there. Bring you up to speed with that.
We need to, we need to reconsider, actually, what we need to reconsider the vote by which we passed Senate Bill 325. Where there was a little problem with
the
amendments that we just adopted. I move we suspend the rule for office purposes of reconsidering the vote by which we passed out Senate Bill 325.
I have a motion, colleagues, to reconsider the vote by which the committee passed out Senate Bill 325. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed Senate Bill 325.
I have a motion, colleagues, to reconsider the vote by which we passed Senate Bill 325. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash A4 amendments that are hand and gross members have in front of them.
And legislative council is here next.
And legislative council is here to explain why we need to do this.
Sure. Yes.
Mr. Hendricks?
Yes, Mr. Breyer.
As far as doing those, I believe it would be cleaner if we would reconsider the vote by which we put the dash A4 amendments under the bill within the clean bill.
So moved. Of motion, colleagues, to reconsider the vote by which we adopted the A4 amendments into Senate Bill 325. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, Mr. Hendricks.
Chair Simmons, members of the committee, Dave Hendricks, Deputy Legislative Counsel. In looking at the language, your committee administrator pointed out a little issue that I think was valid. Probably would have been okay, but better to fix it rather than leave the ambiguity in the bill as it went close to the process. We had originally indicated that the person applying for credit under this section would pay the amounts that are required, the full cost purchase amount, in the manner provided by Section 2 to 10 of the Act. The problem is that Section 2 to 10 of the Act did not become operative until 2002. And I was relying on Section 2 to 10 to indicate that they would be paying, one of the options they would have would be to pay in a lump sum within 90 days before retirement, or to use the provisions of Section 2 to 10 and do an installment payment while they were still working. So because of the delayed offer date, it's probably better to use the language that shows up in the conceptual amendments now that don't rely on Section 2 to 10 to say they can pay it within 90 days before the effective date of retirement, and instead put that straight into the bill as being the primary option, but the backup option being to pay under Section 2 to 10 of the Act upon it becoming operative, since obviously they will not be able to use Section 2 to 10 at this point since they do not become operative until 2002. So these amendments would clarify that the primary method would be to pay in a lump sum 90 days before retirement, and if upon Section 2 to 10 becoming operative, and if they can meet the requirements of Section 2 to 10, they can use that as being the method of funding the purchase.
Why can't we just say that the Act is effective upon passage, Sections 2 through 10 are operative on the dates already specified, and that we create a new operative date for Section 15 and allow them 90 days after Section 15 becomes operative, which could be January 1, 2000. It's clean, the window of opportunity, then the window closes, which was an important point for me, because otherwise some people can wait a few more years and see whether or not the system works. Are you saying no?
Chair Simmons, Representative Maddox, no. Because what we have in the paragraph A of lines 20 to 22 indicates that one of the things they have to do is apply within 90 days after the effective date of the Act for the credit.
Okay. So we still have the window that closes. Mm-hmm. And it's just when they pay.
It's just when they pay, Representative.
Why now, pay later. Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand.
So the hand and growth thing is on here, yours.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Manick,
I move for suspension of the rules for purposes of adopting this conceptual amendment.
Call your motion before us to suspend the rules for purposes of conceptually amending the A4 amendment to Senate Bill 325. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Manick,
I move adoption of the conceptual version of the A4 amendment reflecting the changes presented by legislative council.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Adoption of the conceptual amendment is reflected in the A4 amendments that are before you. Is there any discussion? any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Manning.
I move that we send Senate Bill 325 to the floor with a due process recommendation with this amendment and any prior amendments we may have previously adopted. So that finally applies to our action right now.
Okay. You've heard the motion, colleagues. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 325 goes before the House and due process recommendation. Edwards will be the carrier, and we'll close for discussion on Senate Bill 325. And we will send it to you momentarily.
Good morning, Kennedy, Chair.
Call the committee back to order. The fiscal statement is being prepared for Senate Bill 686 and should be with us momentarily. Meanwhile, we will go to Senate Grant Resolution 44. We're going to work session on Senate Grant Resolution 44. Keep asking that, please. Okay.
I don't even think.
And members, SCR 44 is an amendment to the Constitution proposed to be placed before voters at the November special election. If that election does not occur, it would be at the next biennial primary election. And the wording would require that revenues from fuel taxes and fees on motor vehicles be generated in a manner that ensures that classes of vehicles pay their fair and proportionate share of the cost of the highway system. Mr. Chair, this is what people are referring to as putting cost responsibility into the Constitution. The state has, for a number of years, studied the cost responsibility and the allocation of state highway revenues between heavy and light vehicles and between late classes of heavy vehicles, but there has not been any reference to such a study either in statute or in the Constitution. House Bill 2082 that's passed the Senate contains some of the same language to put in statute, and SCR 44 would put similar language into the Constitution. There is an A4 amendment that specifies that they're talking about revenue that's generated by taxes or excise imposed by the state.
What's the source of this A4 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'm not.
County.
County?
That's my understanding. County.
Anyone who wishes to testify on Senate Grant Resolution 44?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Penhollow, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. The cities and the counties requested the amendments to SGR 44, and certain amendments were incorporated into House Bill 2082 to distinguish those taxes that are imposed and levied by the state from those gas taxes that are currently levied by two counties, I believe three cities. At the local level, we do not have the ability to impose the current weight mile tax or in the future a diesel tax registration fee, so this would just provide that the cost responsibility provisions would apply to those state highway revenue taxes that are collected or that are imposed at the state level.
Any questions? Mr. Edwards?
Thank you. So what's the genesis of this bill? Why do we have a resolution putting it in the Constitution? What's the genesis of doing this versus the fact we've been doing, having a policy relative to this for a number of years? So.
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, we have had a policy for many years of doing cost responsibility studies, which isn't specifically identified statutorily or constitutionally. With the proposed move from the weight mile tax system to the diesel tax, registration fee tax, those that were supporting those measures felt it was important that we ensure that cost responsibility is maintained into the future under the current system or any future system, so that the costs were being appropriately allocated between the basic vehicle and the heavy vehicles.
Just to follow up there.
Yeah, I
won't give my fourth statement yet, but I've been extremely concerned about that shift from a weight mile tax to a diesel fuel tax. And I guess from your testimony, this is, again, a kind of a piece of the puzzle to at least provide some assurances into the future if we do make that shift. At least as I understand, that's a little bit of the basis for why we're doing this. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, that is correct.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else wish to testify on SGR 44?
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. I wanted to also point out that the cost responsibility studies that are done and updated every other year they're suggested and reported to the legislature, but the rates that are charged to truck cars are in statute, and those have to be changed by the legislature. So the cost responsibility study itself does not change rates to make them cost responsibility. Cost-responsible, it still requires an action by the legislature to change in rate at the suggestion of the cost-responsibility study. And the last line of the resolution is that the Legislative Assembly shall provide for a biennial review and, if necessary, adjustments of revenue sources to ensure fairness and proportionality. So that would be consistent with what the legislature has done, but just putting it in the Constitution and requiring the legislation to do that.
Mr. Devlin?
Mr. Chairman, are we in work session?
We are.
Mr. Chairman, I move the A for a moment.
Substantially convinced that putting this kind of language in the Constitution is a good idea?
Okay. That means
the motion to move the A for amendment. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Okay, Dyer.
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Edwards?
Nope.
Gardner?
Aye.
Manning?
Aye.
Carr?
Aye.
Chair Simmons?
Mr. Chair, that was just Mr. Chair before you get together. That was just a vote on the motion for the members.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I've changed my vote to aye. I forgot. We're doing the amendment. That's fine.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Mr. Devlin.
The amendment has passed, right?
Yes. It has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Joint Resolution 44, A&G 44, as a member with the due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the SCR 44 as amended to the floor of the House for due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Mr. Dark.
I'll vote it out. I'd like to continue to think about it, so I'm a little concerned about putting this in the Constitution itself. I understand that the idea in, you know, 2082 passes and why it's potentially necessary. So I think that
again, I argued on SCR 11 for flexibility in the legislature. So I guess I'll reserve the right to think more on it. Maybe vote different on this one.
Okay. What's in the buyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There were some other amendments I thought they drafted. Not that I support them from the Constitution as well as in there, but were there any other amendments brought forward to the Constitution?
Not that I'm aware of. Janet?
Sure, I don't have any other amendments.
Okay, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this today. I think some of along the lines of what I just mentioned to the witness, and that is, I there's a couple reasons. One, I'm just not convinced that, and quite frankly, I'll make this statement on the floor when we have the transportation package before us. It's one piece of the whole package that's moving across, and I'm reluctant to jump off the cliff right now of getting away from a weight mile tax to a diesel tax. I think this can give the proponents of that idea some merit and therefore comfort to moving in that direction. I'm also concerned about putting one more measure before the voters. I think I read in the paper again today we're at 16 resolutions to the voters. This would probably be 17. The record's 20. I understand the politics and I guess the policy behind wanting to put this in there. However, we've been functioning with this cost responsibility for years without it in the Constitution, and I don't see this being a great advantage other than for proponents to want to change the tax system relative to the highway system, and I won't be supporting it today.
Great. Further discussion? Hearing none, motion is before us. Moving the bill as amended before the due pass recommendation. Is anyone who wants to testify in support of it? If we suspend this a little bit.
Jim, a member of the committee. My name is Mark Nelson, representing AOI in support of SJR 44. As you know, there's been negotiations that were conducted on the Senate side, including House Republican and Democratic members and Senate Republican Democratic members, as well as contact back to the governor's office and trying to put this package together in such a way that represents people's concerns about moving to a diesel tax. One of those concerns, of course, is the cost responsibility. The Oregon Trucking Association has agreed to this amendment to the Constitution in a belief that it will help people feel more comfortable with the issue of cost responsibility. There are other provisions within the 2082 which also speak to cost responsibility and a study that's being done every 2 years. We would strongly encourage you to support this measure. We believe it's an integral part of having a successful package.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Gary Conklin here today representing Associated General Contractors, and I'd like to associate with my colleague Mr. Nelson's remarks, agree with them. This is part of a negotiation that has been ongoing for some time. This is an important part of the package for many people, and in fact, it is something that strengthens current law in terms of sharing cost responsibility. So I would urge your support of SJR 44.
Questions, these gentlemen?
Yes, for a few minutes. So what's the position of the Associated General Contractors on SJR 11? You don't have to answer that.
Anyway, I think he's going to make it up the opportunity now to answer.
He moved to a vote.
Hey, have I got a deal for you? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Call the roll, please.
The star is out of the room. It could be tenuous.
Brooklyn Dyer?
No.
Devlin?
Aye.
Edward?
No.
Gardner?
Aye.
Manny?
Aye.
Star? Jensen?
Star? Final passage of SCR 44.
Chrissy, yes.
Joe Cannon? No. Motion carries. Bill goes to the floor to do pass recommendation. Representative Devlin will carry the bill. Close work session on SCR 44. Yes.
I should report to you that three of us have consulted with on this end about SC 325 on a technical issue that has arisen, and we seem to be favorably inclined to fixing it.
How many times are we going to work on
this? No, 25. Nine lives at 325.
Let's keep it committed.
Hopefully, we're finding more fun.
Yes, yes.
I want you to know I'm doing this. The gentleman who brought it to my attention is a longtime compatriot who I have confidence in and gave me the straight speech.
The amendment would be on the A4s to change and to or on line 12.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the council here to explain what it would be and not to delete the word and.
Okay. Yeah, we do have a decision of the A4s.
And
first, I should ask for rule suspension and for reconsideration and yada, yada, yada. But
are we in a work session, Mr. Chairman?
We'll first open a work session on Senate Bill 325, and we'll see where the votes are. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules for purposes of reconsidering our action on Senate Bill 325.
Colleagues, there's a motion before us to suspend the rules for purposes of once again reconsidering our vote on Senate Bill 325.
Yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
That is indeed. The objection, hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Manning,
I move that we reconsider our vote by which we sent out Senate Bill 325.
Colleagues, have a motion before us to reconsider the vote by which we passed Senate Bill 325. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Manning,
may I request to let the council approach the bench?
Mr. Hendrick?
I understand that there may be a small adjustment that could be made to make sure that we actually fill one little gap in the sidewalk, one little crack in the sidewalk that we didn't quite fill.
Mr. Hendricks.
Chair Simmons, member of the committee, Dave Hendricks, Deputy Legislative Counsel. I may have my name placed on this chair before the session is over. Just stay here. The amendment that has been proposed would be to take out one of the limitations on qualifications for acquiring this credit. When the bill was originally drafted, of course, it was not a zero fiscal impact bill, so it was important to draft it fairly closely to the groups that we were aiming at as far as allowing people to acquire the credit, because it was originally drafted, it was going to cost the employer a fair amount to fund it. One of the criteria we used was that the person who left, who did not acquire credit as an elected official, had to leave office and serve for a period of time as an active member of the system. Once you've made it a full cost purchase, it becomes a little less significant, and the requested amendment would be to eliminate that limitation and allow any public official who had failed to make the election to become a first member and thus did not become a member of the system and not acquire credit to acquire under the bill the credit by making a full cost credit. To do that, you would need to add in line 9, at the end of line 9, add and in line 12, at the end of line 12, delete the semicolon and insert a period. Delete the semicolon and the and.
And insert a period.
Insert a period and delete lines 13 and 14.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Manning.
We suspend the rules for purposes of adopting a conceptual amendment.
Okay, before we jump off that cliff, how will we be effectively altering the application of this bill be broadening it to a significantly larger number, or?
The, as originally drafted, it would apply to any elected official, including city, county, judges. I think you've had testimony to that effect previously. As drafted previously, you had to have a fairly narrow group of people qualified, because you basically had to have left the office and then went on to serve in a different position for some period of time as just a regular member. So that was a very narrowing qualification. By eliminating that qualification, any member any public official who failed to make the election would have an opportunity within the 90 days to say, I think I'd like to make a full cost survey.
And it is still full cost survey.
Chair Simmons, that's correct.
Any questions, colleagues? This is Byer.
Anybody in the state is not going to be a member of PERS if we keep doing this?
Probably don't want to respond to that.
Do you want me to restate my motion?
Yes, sir. We don't need suspension of rules. We're just awaiting something in front of us.
Well, we're adding the word and.
We are adding the word and.
Okay. That's correct.
Representative Mannix.
I move to suspend the rules for purposes of adopting a conceptual amendment.
Colleagues, have a motion to suspend the rules to once again adopt conceptual amendments to Senate Bill 325. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
President Mannix.
I move that we amend the conceptual amendments previously adopted under A4 as described by our team of Senate counsel. And I would describe it as being on line 9. We would add the word and after the semicolon. On line 12, we would delete the semicolon after office. We would delete the word and we would insert instead a period. And then we would delete lines 13 and 14.
Colleagues, you heard the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's ordered.
Chairman,
Representative Annick.
I move that we send the bill again to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended to date.
Colleagues, have a motion before us to once again send this well traveled and well worked little people legislation to the floor of the House.
Fort Worth House?
Yes. Did we adopt the conceptual amendment A4s back into the bill?
They were already there, Mr. Chairman, so I think we were just changing them a little bit.
If we reconsider, though, I think we have to readopt.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
For the record, I move that we readopt.
Okay, colleagues, have a motion to readopt the conceptual amended A4 amendment to Senate Bill 325. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Mannix.
Now I move the bill as fully amended to the floor to pass.
First motion, colleagues. Is there any discussion? Just briefly.
I can't resist suggesting maybe we should add in prior service as an assistant attorney general for the U.S. territory of Guam. Just kidding.
Golden parachutes for legislators, right? Just don't go there. Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Bill goes to the floor of the House to do a pass recommendation. Edwards again. This one, Devin will be the carrier.
Edwards. Mr. Chairman, if you want me to carry on, I've got a police and fire one I'd like to do on
Tuesday. Edwards will be the carrier. We'll start the work session again on Senate Bill 625. We'll go back now and reopen our suspended work session on Senate Bill 686. We have a fiscal statement before us, Representative Starr.
Larry, could I ask some questions about the fiscal statement? Mm-hmm. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on the speed by which this came to our committee. The fastest fiscal I've ever seen delivered to a committee. The question I had is, in your comments, there's no discussion of either the siting process by which the Department of Correction has to go through if you adopt A41, and the potential for the cost, the added cost of land acquisition. It's not commented on in your comments here. I would think that would give the Department of Correction additional cost that if they were to build the prison at dam, which they wouldn't have because they've already been sited there and they've already owned the land. Wouldn't that increase the potential fiscal in this bill?
Chair Simmons, Representative Starr, the $171.7 million that has been approved for Capital Construction Authority does contemplate the potential for land acquisition costs. It is considered an amount suitable for various sites.
So, if I can follow up, Mr. Chair. Yes. So, in the event that the prison is sited at Damlis, does it act extra money in there?
Early estimates of what it would have cost to build it at Damlis, I think the first one we approved in January of 1998 would have been approximately $151 million. The current estimate for the Damlis site is still in the same range as this, approximately $171, maybe $173 million, but the department has committed to build the facility even if it were at Damlis within this price.
And was it note that the amendment to be adopted, the 41, to preclude the siting of this facility at Damlis? Or if it's in the start.
But the testimony we just heard was that the cost of site to build at Damlis was $171 million. And if we're going to go buy property somewhere else in the state, it seemed to me that that would be an additional cost that's not represented in this, in the comments on this fiscal statement. In addition to that, if we're reopening the siting process, that takes time and manpower that the Department of Corrections can ask to pay, and there's no comment, there's no information in this fiscal regarding that issue either. And if the prison were built at Damlis, and it's going to cost $171 million to do that, I would assume there would be additional money for both the siting process and the land acquisition if the prison's built somewhere else.
And Chair Simmons, and Representative Starr, if I understand your comments correctly, it is possible that a site could be found that would cost less than this, but the assurances I have from the department is that this is an amount they can live within once a suitable site is found. The Damlis site was considerably more expensive than other sites potentially could be, but this is a cap amount, if you will, that they can live within, both for Capital Construction Authority and debt service.
This follow-up.
President Starr?
I know this isn't a late meeting subcommittee, but we're dealing with substantive legislation, so let's have a question about the budget process. Is there any authority, does the Department of Corrections have to come to the E-Board for the release of these funds in the event that they build anywhere? I mean, if they build at Bay Road or build somewhere else in the state through the study process, do they have to come to the E-Board for allocation of resources?
Chair Simmons, committee members, in this case, it would not be necessary. The budget that's passed both the House and the Senate contained debt service for the department to pay debt service on a certificate of participation that would be issued to construct the facility. The other two pieces that would be necessary to fulfill this construction process are Capital Construction Authority and Department of Administrative Services COP Bonding Authority. So with those two things in place, there would not be necessary to return to the E-Board for financial reasons.
So thanks for indulging, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. Senate Bill 5527, the Capital Construction Budget, and the Bonding Authority 5502, those bills haven't passed. My understanding is have not passed either chamber. $171 million in either one of those bills?
Chair Simmons, the committee members, yes. Both the Bonding Authority and the Capital Construction Authority limitations that have been established, at least in the General Government Subcommittee at this time, pending review of this legislation, contemplate the same expenditure.
Thank you, and I appreciate taking the time. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Starr. Thank you, Mr. Pathfinder, for taking the time to come up and visit with us today. Further discussion. When we left this call, we've got a motion on the table to pass the bill to the floor of the due pass recommendation. We have not yet taken the vote. Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't have to surprise anyone, but I'll be voting no. I'm also serving notice for the minority report.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Representative Devlin serves notice for the minority report. Any further discussion, Mr. Starr?
Mr. Chair, I don't think it's any surprise either that I'm extremely disappointed in the turn of events that have taken place in the last 2 hours. After believing that we had some agreement to move a different set of amendments that I think are more appropriate, I think that this is completely the wrong way to go with this bill. I think it's bad public policy. I'm more disappointed about this, I think, than almost any other legislation that we've contemplated this session. It really, really makes me upset to think that we're gonna pass this amendment out. I'm extremely disappointed. I believe it's completely wrong. I'm gonna do something too that I never thought I would do as a member of the majority party. But I believe it's important that we give the members of the House floor the opportunity to have a full discussion on this issue. And I intend to join with Representative Devlin.
This is Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to refrain from most of my remarks and will continue to do that because I feel I might say some things that I might regret later. But I do think I concur with Representative Carr, and I think it's particularly unfortunate that we spent the largest part of the last 3 hours trying to decide how we could deny Oregonians proper redress in this process.
I really call it, this has been a very difficult process. And as I indicated earlier, I really don't know how we could come to some conclusion that would be agreeable to all concerned in this situation, given the political climate that we have and the powers that be in the building today. And so we have the 41 before us, and the clerk, please call the roll.
Representative
Byer? No.
Devlin?
No, in the first notice of possible minority report.
Edwards?
Yes, and I'll save some remarks from the floor, but this has been a very tough decision for me as well. Maybe just to add a footnote, but Representative Devlin and I, in this session, have supported looking for lots of sites. I mean, we supported the Umatilla vote. We're the only ones in our caucus to do that. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, this bill, as written, will provide the governor and does direct him to find one site. It isn't site-specific. I guess I'm comfortable with that. It's going to be his decision, not mine. And this is really one of those that I think we've heard testimony, hours of testimony, both sides about the trouble with siting, and I'm not sure that we've, you know, the super siting process shouldn't be re-examined, but today I'll support this. Thank you.
Proceed.
Yes. That was a yes.
A yes.
Yes, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the bill as amended goes to the floor of the House to do pass recommendation. And
you need a carrier, Mr. Chair? I'll be glad to carry it.
President Max will be the carrier. And we'll close the work SJR 68. And we are Senate Bill 68, excuse me.
86.
Well, if whatever. 6 and 8 are in there, just repeat the 6 again, if you wish. We are required to be back on the floor. We need to check out, see if we can, and
do you have any idea how long the floor session is yet to go this evening?
Somewhere short of 10 o'clock.
Somewhere short of 10 o'clock.
Okay. What we will do is just go ahead and adjourn then and come back to this tomorrow. We've got the biggest item shoveled off our agenda now, I think, and we can then get to work on some of the other issues that we do for us. So we will adjourn and...